global markets follow Wall Street's steep decline.
The simple way of thinking about this is just there's this coronavirus outbreak. The slightly more subtle way of thinking about this is to notice that a lot of what's happening is playing out in futures markets first.
And why South Korea is reporting a faster spread of the virus than in China.
The culprit of more than half of the cases can be traced to a mysterious megachurch called Shincheonji.
Plus a key test for Joe Biden in South Carolina. This is What's News from The Wall Street Journal. I'm Kim Gittleson. Let's get started. Now, before we look at why the coronavirus outbreak has accelerated in South Korea, here's what you missed. Global markets continued to slide following steep losses on Wall Street yesterday. All three main U.S. indices entered correction territory, with the S&P 500 falling 10% from its recent high in just 6 days. That's a record. This morning, markets in Japan, Shanghai, and South Korea all closed down over 3%, and European markets opened broadly lower. Markets reporter Paul Davies says there's the obvious reason behind the steep falls, fear, but there's also something more subtle that's pushing everything from stocks to bonds to commodities lower.
So we're seeing coordinated sell-offs across all kinds of markets. Coming into the end of this week, we're seeing it in commodities, we're seeing it in riskier government bonds, we're seeing it in risky corporate bonds, and of course we're seeing it in equities as we have been seeing all week. The simple way of thinking about this is just there's this coronavirus outbreak, it's really uncertain, everybody's really worried about where it's going to go and the effect it's going to have on the economy, and so they're just sort of changing their views about the economy. The slightly more subtle way of thinking about this is to notice that a lot of what's happening is playing out in futures markets first. Some of this through the early part of this week was hedge funds and other kind of, you know, quantitative, modern, computer-driven investors, you know, not really totally repositioning their books, but taking some risk off the table and protecting themselves a bit. But the other way of thinking about this as well, as it floods through all different asset classes, is the people that trade these futures markets the most are the really big macro hedge funds. And a lot of these guys, it seems, are really changing their view now from one that thought the world was looking fine to one where they're now thinking, actually, there's a possibility of a US recession coming through here.
That brings us to another thing that's changed after this week's slide. Investor expectations about what the Fed could do in response.
Everybody is really hoping, thinking, believing that the Fed is going to ride to the rescue again here somehow, and that probably means a rate cut. And what we're seeing in the Fed futures market is a near certainty being priced in of a rate cut at the next meeting in mid-March.
One company that hasn't yet been spooked by Wall Street's turmoil is DoorDash. Yesterday, the food delivery startup said it had confidentially filed paperwork for an initial public offering later this year. The company and its bankers hope that the current wave of market volatility will pass by this spring. DoorDash's IPO could be a big test for investor demand for highly valued private startups after stumbles by Uber, Lyft, and most recently, the mattress startup Casper. Now, our main story. We're going to continue to focus on the coronavirus outbreak, but head now to South Korea. The virus is spreading faster there than in China. New cases have nearly doubled over the past 2 days. The rapid increase in new cases underscores just how difficult it is to contain the virus. South Korea Bureau Chief Tim Martin has more from Seoul. So, Tim, walk us through what's happening there in South Korea.
South Korea, which just as of 2 weeks ago looked like it had a modest count of coronavirus cases relative to all the other countries around China, has seen its case count skyrocket. It's doubled in the past 2 days. It's now over 2,000. And it's reporting more new cases than China. The culprit of more than half of the cases can be traced to a mysterious megachurch called Shincheonji. So this has spread in South Korea's fourth largest city called Daegu, and it's put the city on lockdown.
And why has the virus spread so rapidly?
It spread so rapidly because this megachurch, they're only now a week into the explosion of cases being able to locate who goes to the church, who have they come in contact with, who are their family members, who are their coworkers, et cetera. And, you know, these church members all congregate very closely to each other. So one infected person could spread the illness very easily to others.
What's been the response from South Korean officials, and what's the mood there like?
Yeah, in South Korea, the anxiety level is high. People have stopped going outside, even in the capital city of Seoul, where the number of cases is still relatively low. But we have a reporter on the ground in Daegu, and the scene there is much different than nationwide mobilization. Doctors are treating 10 or more patients at the same time. There are not enough hospital beds, not enough supplies. The situation there is quite overstrained. So the government in Seoul is promising they'll do better, but people in Daegu are obviously very concerned.
And didn't we see news out this morning that in addition to the health impact, officials are also trying to mitigate some of the economic consequences of the outbreak?
Yeah, it looks like the government will put more than $15 billion in emergency funds. As coronavirus paranoia has notched up, people are canceling meetings. They're not certainly traveling around the country. Many companies have told their workers to work remotely.
Are there any lessons from how South Korea is handling the outbreak that could be applied to other efforts to contain the virus, say, in Italy or in Iran?
South Korea enjoys a lot of advantages compared to other countries in terms of fighting an outbreak like this. It's wealthy. It's about the geographic size of Indiana. It has hyperconnectivity, so it's easy to reach people. I think the lesson from this week is, even though South Korea has deep pockets and heavy commitment, the rapid speed with which coronavirus can rip across the country can be quite overwhelming and surprising.
You can find all of our coronavirus coverage, including our live updates throughout the day and a guide on how you can protect yourself, up on WSJ.com. And here's what else we're paying attention to today. It's Friday, so it's time for our weekly Election 2020 segment. This week has been all about South Carolina. Voters head to the polls for primaries tomorrow. It's a key test for the viability of former Vice President Joe Biden's campaign. Politics reporter John McCormick has more.
He desperately needs a win here in South Carolina. His campaign has struggled so far and not lived up to sort of the national frontrunner billing that he had for a lot of 2019. So the pressure is really on him for a victory here in South Carolina. The polls are looking reasonably good for him at this point. We just got a poll out on Thursday that showed him with about 36% of the vote. Bernie Sanders about 20 points behind him. And Tom Steyer, who has spent a ton of money here and a lot of time, is very close behind Sanders at about 15%.
Yes, that's right. Billionaire Tom Steyer is currently in third place. John says he's spent $22 million in the state so far. That's more than any other candidate. We'll, of course, have the results from the race for you in our show on Monday. Finally, some personal news. This is my last What's News podcast. I've been a Wall Street Journal reader since I was 16, when I carefully underlined all of the words and phrases I didn't understand in our economics chief Greg Ipp's reporting on the Fed. Taking you through the best part of our reporting every morning in this podcast has been an absolute privilege. To all of you who've made our podcast part of your routine, thank you. Please continue to come to us for the news you need to navigate the world. I know that I will. That's What's News from the Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening, and have a great week.